99.5 FM WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for Back of the Book that comes your way right now. Da, 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 da.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Diseases and Mass Murders Should Not Become the New Normal. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And in whatever condition they're in, long weekend, in any event, we're going to talk about various things on this radio program. You can find out a little bit more about that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you get a blue navigation frame in the left side of your screen. Click on the thing at the top of that that says latest Back of the Book program links. You'll be brought to the web page for this program. We do a new web page for every program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right at this time. This is our 93rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program can't be as up-to-date as a live program. But this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And our top story for the week. We have dropped further to only 117 followers on Twitter. Oh, my. Oh, the stock markets have started crashing over this news. And everybody in the world is talking about it. What could have happened? We had a high of 120 just a few weeks ago, and now we're all the way down to 117. Oh, gee whiz. The next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI Local Station Board will be held on Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 528,197,411 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,285,686. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 83,934,214, and the death toll in America was 1,004,549. So,
2,613 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is a couple of hundred people higher than last week's. And the BA.2.12.1 subvariant of Omicron is still raging through the world. This pandemic is not over. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. And there's some new research in showing that 1 in 5 adult COVID-19 survivors under the age of 65 in the United States has experienced at least one health condition that could be considered long COVID. It's 1 in 5. This is from a new study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The other statistic that came out of it was that among patients 65 and older, the number is 1 in 4. So if you're under 65, 1 in 5 people who gets COVID gets what looks like long COVID. If you're 65 or older, 25%, one quarter of those 65 and older who survive will have long COVID. Oh boy, more reason than ever for me to bunker up over here. And in the light of all of this, New York City is seeing more cases of COVID-19 again. Mayor Adams suggests people wear masks, but he's refusing to make a mandate of that again. Maybe he figures that forcing a mandate on everybody would hurt his chances in his run for president.
You know, Paul, I've noticed more and more as I venture forth into the world that people are indeed acting like the pandemic is over. No masks, no distancing, a lot of coughing going on, which is interesting. Some people think it's allergies, but man, that's not a usual allergic reaction. Sneezing, yes. You know, sniffling, runny eyes, but coughing, not so much. And I'm really thinking about the chances of getting COVID right now because I just found out that my mom is in the hospital. Now, she's in the hospital in Canada, and you might think to yourself, dear listeners, oh, Canada, the wonderful healthcare they have in Canada. Well, I got to tell you that the healthcare in Canada is going through a crisis right now, and it was going through it before the pandemic. It's only gotten worse with the pandemic. There's a big shortage of primary care physicians in Canada. The federal government, some years ago, implemented some changes that only during the pandemic many of the provinces have instituted. And one of them is you don't get to have a yearly checkup anymore. You can call your doctor and talk to him about one thing that might be wrong. Other than that, you can talk to your pharmacist or maybe there'll be a team nurse, although they haven't really set all of that up yet. And part of this has to do with, you know, everyone gets to see a doctor. You don't have to pay. But the doctors, before this, I believe, the more patients they see, the more money they get. Not the best system in the world. I was kind of shocked to hear that. And now it's, well, you can only talk to them about one thing, and that's supposed to, like, somehow make this better. For the doctor, I don't see how. It certainly is not good for the patient. So my mom, I believe she has very low sodium, and so she's ended up in the hospital, and right now she's in the local hospital on a hospital bed in the hallway. So my almost 92-year-old mother is parked out in the hallway in a crowded hospital during a pandemic. Oh. One good thing is that the COVID patients are in a completely separate building. So that is something. However, you know, you can end up in the hospital and not know you have COVID, too.
So, yeah.
So, I don't know. My faith has been shaken somewhat in the healthcare system in Canada. Still many good things about it, but thinking about mom during the pandemic stuck in that hallway.
Yeah, that's not so hot. Really, I think it's been shown that yearly visits, for checkups is a really important thing. It helps to keep you alive longer. Well, I guess when the state decides it wants to get into that, they will get chintzy about it.
Well, apparently now they've decided, well, perhaps this is not the best way to go. So maybe 3-4 years from now, they'll switch back to the way it had been. Yes. So, you know, and this change has been implemented through several federal governments. So you can't blame, you know, whichever party, because they've all gone along with it when they were in power. So,
well, I guess they didn't need any medical help, or they could afford their own. And so they say, let the common people just, you know, accept what we throw to them. And I got to say, at 92, your mother's a Gomer. A Gomer is hospital speak for get out of my emergency room. When you're elderly and you have really elderly, I mean, not, you know, she's 91, she's almost 92, and you have some kind of a thing wrong with you. Oh, God, a lot of people just do not want to see that kind of patient. And, so she's out in the hallway.
Well, the last time, I mean, about 9 months ago, she was in the hospital for another condition, and she went through the ER, and she actually stayed in the ER in a bed, which that happened to you, you know, last time you were in the hospitalized. And she got to spend, I guess, the night in the ER, and then the next day they found her an actual room of her own, which is quite unusual. But this time she's not even in the ER. I don't know if it's a step up to be in the hallway.
Oh, well.
I think probably it's not. And speaking of illness and people getting old, one of the former hosts at WBAI has passed away, Peter Lamborn Wilson. I have not seen or spoken to him, and it's got to be over 20 years. But the big thing he did for me was he's the reason I ended up at BAI with my dear, dear pal, Rat Girl of the West. We got to be on the radio on his show, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. And the ultimate thing is got to meet people who have become, you know, chosen family, and of course, I got to meet my darling husband here. So
that who was that? Who dat?
Anyway, so that was the biggest thing that's a gigantic thing in my life, actually. So, and was saying yes to Peter asking Rat Girl and I to be part of the show that made that possible.
Yes, and I remember we started talking to each other, we started going out, and after a bit, I remember in 1998, I think it was it 99, one of those years, speaking to Samori Marksman, who was our program director at the time, and saying, getting his approval for bringing on a co-host to this program. And he said, yeah, okay, because most people didn't ask. Most people did whatever the hell they pleased. They paid no attention to the idea that there might be people in charge of the radio station. And so, you know, I think he's a little bit surprised that I asked him. And he said, yeah, sure, okay. And so that's how Pickles of the North got approved to be co-producer of this radio program. And, of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine goes on. Vladimir Putin, the dictator of the Russian so-called Federation, has said, hey, we can negotiate, and we can negotiate on how you can agree that Russia gets to keep whatever parts of Ukraine it wants, and you'll give up. And, you know, I don't think they're going to basically in treaty with him on that particular basis, and they shouldn't, Meanwhile, America is apparently sending them some long-range howitzers. That's probably going to help them out. And we haven't seen any attempts by the Russians to cross any rivers lately. Last time, remember, we were talking about a battalion got wiped out. That is such a big deal. Having a battalion wiped out like that is, wow, shows serious incompetence on the part of the guys who tried to cross that river. I mean, they know that the Americans are watching and that the Americans are feeding intel to the Ukrainians, so they can't say, shh, don't tell anybody, we'll sneak across this river and attack them from the, we'll flank them. They'll never know what's coming. Well, somebody didn't know it was coming, but it wasn't the Ukrainians. And so, yes, it just drags on, and it's terrible. We're seeing more and more of their murdering people, and 200 people were discovered, 200 bodies were discovered in a basement and in Mariupol. And, you know, we won't know the full extent of that sort of thing until this is over, or maybe not then, depending on exactly what happens. But, yeah, this is bad stuff. Be good if somebody would get rid of Putin.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
The arrest count for that insurrection on January 6th, 2021, the arrest count has topped 800. More than 800 people got busted. I'm glad of this. They're getting a lot of them, I think. They're getting the ones who were inside, the morons outside. I think that some of them should maybe be arrested too, but they probably will not be. However, this past week, one Greg Rubenacker, who's from Farmingdale, Long Island, shout out to Farmingdale, you've got a moron among you, except he ain't going to be there for a while. He was sentenced to 3 years and 5 months in prison. That's good. I think it should be longer. And Rubenacker was the jackass who posted video of himself online in the Capitol building with all the people rioting in there. And his video shows him saying, holy bleep. He didn't say bleep. I got to say bleep. This is history. We took the Capitol, unquote. And then he says, quote, smoke out the Capitol, baby. Smells like freedom in here, unquote, as he smoked marijuana in the Capitol. And he was vaping it or something. I hope he serves that full sentence of 3 years and 5 months. And in my opinion, he got off lightly. He was one of the initial group that broke into the Senate chamber. And so, yeah, 3 years, 10 months. He got off lightly. I think he and a lot of other people should have gotten 20 years. That was a serious thing. And, oh, and at his trial, he's, oh, I'm so sorry, and I didn't mean to. You know, it's another one of these situations where somebody, they do something, and, oh, we're the big deal. We are the champions. We are ruling the world. We're the big deals. We're so tough. And then they get nailed for it. It's, oh, I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. It was not me. It was, And you get this kind of thing. These kinds of people abound in the world.
And they are dangerous people.
Yes. And so I'm glad Mr. Rubenacker got sentenced to something, as opposed to some people who've only gotten mere months. And I'm glad he's going to go to prison. So there you go. I wanted to make a fast note here that tomorrow, May 29th, would have been my mother's 100th birthday. She passed away 2 decades ago. All the old relatives are gone now. I am the oldest male Martin. The Martin line in New York City is going to end with my cousin and myself.
Unless we clone you guys.
Yeah, unless we clone. Another mass shooting in America this past Tuesday. We just did this last time. Last program, we had a mass shooting. This time, another one. another 18-year-old showed up with another AR-15-style rifle, this time at the Robb Elementary School in Little Uvalde, Texas. The death toll was 21 this time, 19 grammar school children and two teachers, with several more people injured, including the shooter's grandmother, whom he shot in the face. She wasn't at the school. He did that at home. And this kid didn't post any long screeds online. He does not seem to have had a political agenda. And he was a local resident. He didn't travel 400 miles to target the place. He had apparently gone there when he was a kid. I guess he had a beef and he decided he would go there and he would murder as many small children as he could. I don't quite understand that thinking, but this is what it looks like. His mother is quoted as saying that sometimes he gets mad and becomes aggressive. So it sounds like this is some person with anger issues who, you know, doesn't behave well. I mean, we all know people like that. And he was living with his grandparents because he'd had a big fight with his mother about Wi-Fi being cut off. And they couldn't live together anymore. And before he left to murder 21 people, he shot his grandmother in the face. And then he stole her pickup truck and drove it to the Robb Elementary School. He didn't have a driver's license, and he didn't know how to drive, and so he cracked it up, and he ended up in a ditch near the school. And after he was done shooting all these people, 19 children and two teachers, Texas Governor Greg Abbott tweeted, quote, "I mourn this horrific loss and urge all Texans to come together," unquote. Meaningless drivel. He held a big press conference with a lot of Texas politicians and law enforcement people around him the day after the mass murders. And at this press conference, Abbott said that this event was unpredictable.
Oh, boy.
After that, Democratic candidate for governor of Texas, Beto O'Rourke, walked up to the stage that Abbott and the others were crowded onto and said, quote, "It's on you," unquote, pointing to Abbott. O'Rourke said, "You said this wasn't predictable. It's totally predictable," unquote. So some of the people on the stage called O'Rourke names, and as he was led away by police, O'Rourke said, quote, "Someone needs to stand up for the children of this state, or they will continue to be killed like they were in Uvalde," unquote. Earlier, O'Rourke had tweeted, quote, "If you have any decency, you will immediately withdraw from this weekend's NRA convention and urge them to hold it anywhere but Texas," unquote, out of respect for the victims of the latest mass shooting. NRA is, of course, the National Rifle Association, infamous for having a lot of political clout and opposing any kind of gun control laws whatsoever, which means they're really thrilled with Texas because Texas pretty much has almost no gun control laws whatsoever. Abbott had resisted not speaking at the NRA convention, as he was scheduled to do. However, as we were preparing this program, he relented, sort of, and said he would not go, but would instead make an appearance at Uvalde, Texas, where he'll hold another photo op. Before he goes there, his spokesman said he will record a video to be played for the attendees at the National Rifle Association convention. People have also dug up a tweet that Governor Abbott had made in 2015 when he promoted the NRA and linked to an article about the state's gun sales. Abbott's tweet said, quote, "I'm embarrassed," embarrassed is in uppercase, "Texas number two in nation for new gun purchases behind California. Let's pick up the pace, Texans, unquote. So he's telling Texans, hey, let's buy more guns. California's bought more guns than we have lately. Let's have more guns in Texas. And, of course, that's promoting the gun dealer business, and it's promoting the NRA, and it's also promoting people who want to shoot people and say, yeah, should be pretty easy to get one now. And so then he was telling people in Texas to buy even more guns. And as I said, Texas has terribly lax gun laws. Almost anyone can carry almost any kind of firearm in public, and it's okay with Texas leaders. And apparently, if you travel there, you can carry a gun. So if I went to Texas, I could get a Gat and carry it around with me all the time I'm there. And if somebody bugs me, I can draw down and blow them away. Oh, boy. For some people, Texas must be great fun. Amid all of this controversy and publicity, Senator Chuck Schumer said, quote, after Beto O'Rourke confronted Texas Governor Abbott's press conference, the MAGA governor gave some empty platitudes about healing and hope. He asked people to put aside their agendas and think about someone other than themselves. How dare he? What an absolute fraud, unquote. Yeah, I think that was a good statement by Schumer. After the mass murders, Senator Ted Cruz said that he and his wife, quote, are fervently lifting up in prayer the children and families in the horrific shooting in Uvalde, unquote. So the usual thoughts and prayers around this kind of thing. Those prayers sure don't seem to be working. Every time this happens, oh, our thoughts and prayers, oh, you're praying for all this, right? By this time, they must be spending like hours a day praying for all these people who are getting blown away and their relatives who have to live with the fact that they've been blown away. Yeah. I don't think they believe in prayer either, really. They're just politicians. And they say that because it's a sort of nothing thing you can say, and there you go. It's sort of like, oh, how are you, from people who don't give a rat's zinger how you are. Anyway, so, yeah, this prayer stuff, God, people substitute that, and it works for some people in terms of substituting it, and they therefore say, and I've done something. Cruz reportedly received more money from gun nuts than any other candidate in the 2018 election, more than $300,000. So he likes them, and they like him. Cruz later advocated only having one door in schools as the solution to the problem of people showing up and shooting the children in class. I mean, really, they've showed this on TV. No more door, just one door with two cops on it. Yeah, I guess he forgot about fire safety. There's a fire in the school. Oh, there's only one door. Everybody file out the door, the one door. There's 600 kids in the school. All 600 of you get out that door. Well, you have more dead kids that way, but I guess he doesn't give a rat's ass. So Cruz has since all of this also dropped out of appearing at the NRA convention. Trump, however, is still going. Now, the Democrats have brought up various gun control bills to try to deal with this kind of thing time and again after all the various other mass shootings at schools and elsewhere, and they've been voted down by the Republicans. What is the Republican solution? I haven't seen the Republicans bring up any solutions on this. I have seen one Republican attorney general going on about, well, you can't legislate on this. You can't do anything about it. You just go ahead and you pass these laws and they don't mean anything. You pass a law against murder and people murder people anyway. Yeah, and this is the guy who's supposed to be the top guy in charge of, I forget what state it is, of prosecuting and upholding the law. So he's saying laws don't matter. That's kind of absurd. So yes, so therefore we shouldn't have laws against murder, just as we shouldn't have laws regarding gun control. Don't need a law controlling guns. Don't need a law against murder. Don't need laws against a lot of things. We don't need any laws at all. We'll just all have guns and do whatever the hell we please. This is the logic we're getting out of some Republicans. And again, what is the Republican solution? What laws are they proposing to do something about this constant thing that happens in America where we have these mass shootings? And we've had two of them in this past 2 weeks. And there are so many we could go on and name. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they have no problem enacting legislation against women having autonomy over their own bodies. But, you know, guns, hey, that's sacred. That's really sacred.
Yeah. And President Biden referenced the murders in a speech to the nation on Tuesday night, and he said, quote, "Since then, there have been over 900 incidents of gunfire reported on school grounds." I'm talking about one of the previous shootings. He listed some of these shootings, including the 2018 murders at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and the shooting earlier this year at Oxford High School in Michigan. Biden said, quote, "I'm sick and tired of it. We have to act. And don't tell me we can't have an impact on this carnage," unquote. He ordered flags on federal buildings nationwide to be flown at half staff in response to the murders. He gave the speech after returning from meeting with several world leaders on a trip to Asia. And he said, quote, "On that 17-hour flight, what struck me is these kinds of mass shootings rarely happen anywhere else in the world," unquote. He then asked, quote, "Why? They have mental health problems. They have domestic disputes. They have people who are lost. But these kind of mass shootings never happen with the frequency they happen in America," unquote. So, yeah, this is very obvious. You even have countries that have, I think, a higher per capita of guns in terms, not in terms of the number of guns and the number of people, but the number of people, percentage of the population who own guns. That percentage in some places is higher than in America, but they're not slaughtering each other the way we are. And it's a big odd thing when something like this happens at, like, Norway, where that guy shot 77 people. Holy hell. And, you know, this is something that is happening in America over and over again. It isn't that it happens once. It's that it keeps on going. I mean, you've also got the Pulse nightclub in Florida, where some guy went in there and started shooting because he didn't like gay people and he wanted to kill all the gay people in the nightclub. And, you know, we have all these reasons for going and doing this kind of thing. And, God, it's just that there are all these guns are around. Now, I say this as a gun owner. I own a gun. And the thing is, we have all of these people who have access to multiple guns, and plus you do have, now I don't like the assault rifle term because it kind of screws things up in a couple of different ways. You say assault rifle and everybody goes, ooh, and then they start trying to define what an assault rifle is, and then they end up defining all sorts of things that aren't assault rifles. The issue is weapons that can put out a great many bullets all at once. Now, the creep in Buffalo modified his AR-15 style rifle so that it would take the large magazines. You can get up to you can get 20 and 30 round magazines for these AR-15 clones. And in New York State, that's not allowed. So he bought his gun in New York State, and it had the a thing that limits it limits the capacity of the magazine, and he modified the gun so that it would take these large magazines, so that he could go in with a 30-round magazine and just blast away. And if you can just do that, then, yeah, people, there's no pausing while you reload. And if you're shooting, and then you reload, people will notice that. Some people will notice that. And they'll run away, and they'll get away from you. So if you have 30 rounds, you have, you know, fewer pauses to reload. However, the one in Texas didn't have to do that, because in Texas, there is no limit on the size of the magazine. So this 18-year-old bought two AR-15 style rifles, and he bought a bunch of 30-round magazines, didn't have to modify anything, and he bought something like 375 rounds of ammunition for them. And then he went and murdered all these people, especially, you know, it's very tragic when it's small children. I mean, you should see the pictures of them, and they're little kids. In any event, he went and was able to get a gun that can just keep on shooting like this. This is the problem. You got to look at certain things, and it's the semi-automatic nature of it. And there are hunting rifles like that that will hit rather harder than an AR-15 style. AR-15 is a 5.56 millimeter rifle. If you get something that has a Winchester 308 round that it uses, that's a 7.62 millimeter round that comes out of the gun. And that tiny little bit of millimeters, that makes a big difference. And there are semi-automatic rifles that you can go off and get, you know, for hunting. They're not assault rifles. They don't look like it. See, what they call assault rifles are things like that AR-15, and some people find them scary looking. So it's the visual that gets to them. Also, with the semi-automatic rifles, you can make them automatic. It's a rather simple thing. When I was in the Army, I knew a guy who, he lived in some state where guns were rather ordinary. And he had specifically an M1 carbine left over from World War II. And he was in a little bit of trouble with the local sheriff, because the local sheriff knew that he had modified it to be fully automatic, which means you squeeze the trigger and it just keeps shooting until you empty the magazine. And you can do that with a semi-automatic rifle. So maybe they need to pay attention to semi-automatic rifles. I have said before, now that would be interesting. What I've said before is still true. I don't know that there is a way out of this anymore. There are so many millions of these AR-15s out there, and they're not the only ones. There are other ones. Like I just mentioned, the M1 carbine from World War II. You can modify that, and that has a 20 or 30 round magazine you can put in it too. And my father had a 20 round magazine full of bullets for an M1 carbine that he took home from World War II. Didn't take the gun home, but you know. So you can modify these things and have them be fully automatic. And, you know, if you're facing a crowd, oh, man, fully automatic, or rock and roll, as we called it, that will just spray down the whole crowd. It's tremendous. It's why machine guns are weapons of war. And that's also why the AR-15 does the type of damage it does. It doesn't just poke a hole in. It's going very, very fast. And so the bullet starts to come apart and twist and turn as it hits anything. And when you're at close range, it has all of its energy, and it has a tremendous amount of energy. And it has so much energy, that bullet, that the copper can't hold the lead. It's a copper jacket with lead in it, and it can't hold it, so it breaks apart, because copper isn't that strong a metal. And so it's almost like a shotgun going off inside the body. And these are weapons of war. They're made to really mess people up. This is why they had to take DNA samples from parents to try and match their kids because, well, photographs were not useful anymore. So this means, you know, he shot his grandmother in the face. We see what else he probably did. So this is what happens. Sort of, and you know, a lot of people are used to the American iconography of violence, where somebody shoots somebody and he goes, bang, the guy goes, oh, holds his chest, falls down. And it isn't like that. With real stuff, it tears the human body apart. You see a guy, he's shot in the shoulder and he keeps on fighting. In real life, you get shot in the shoulder, you may find your arm a few yards in back of you. Or you may never be able to use your arm right again. It does serious permanent damage. And so these are the kinds of things that maybe somebody should try to do something about, but I still despair. I don't see how to deal with the many millions of these things that are out there.
Well, one thing would be to outlaw those guns and then buy all those ones that are out there back. Make it worth people's while to get at least some of them out of people's hands. You know, where I grew up in my family, the only guns people had were members of our family who would go out into the woods during hunting season and, you know, legally take part in a hunt. And the thing is, if you're like killing a moose or a bear, you want that to be like a clean kill so that you bring it home and you eat the meat from it. You know, you don't want to have the carcass of the animal torn to bits. That's what, you know, it's just a rifle that you're using. And also I wanted to say New York City has some of the best gun laws in the nation. It may not feel like it sometimes with the bad things that happen here, but they really, really are good. I mean, I've gone with our Paul when he's gotten his license renewed. And those ladies in that office, I think it's in the Bronx, right?
Queens.
It was Queens. Oh, sorry. I knew it was far. It felt far from Brooklyn, so yeah. I guess it wasn't as far as the Bronx. But they take a lot of information. Very nice. They take your picture. I mean, that's the way you do it.
And to initially do it, I had to do even more stuff.
Yes.
So they have fingerprints and everything. So, yeah. So there's that. And, yeah, I suppose we could try something, something like a buyback and all of this. It's, you know, you don't have a hell of a lot to lose.
Something is better than nothing.
Probably in this case, yes. You would have fewer of these things out there. And that would be that. I mean, other people come up with other kinds of things like ban the ammunition. Well, that doesn't work because you can make the ammunition. There are reloaders. There are people who, you know, reload cartridges, and you can make all of this. So, yeah, the gun is the hard thing to make. So, yeah, it's very hard to pretty much the horse is out of the stable on this. But, again, I don't see anything at all from the Republicans about what to do, other than Ted Cruz saying, let's ban doors. Now, during the shooting, Mia Carrillo, who's 11 years old, saw her friend next to her full of blood, and she took some of the blood and put it on herself, and she played dead and survived the massacre. She did have bullet fragments in her back, and she did go to the hospital. So it's also, when you're shooting like that, he may have, some of the rounds may have hit the floor or something and shattered and had enough velocity to enter the kid's back. Bad stuff, but it didn't kill her. Or it could be, he shot one kid and the round went through and fragments came out of the one kid and went into Mia Carrillo's back. We don't know. But this is some of, this kid survived. She had her wits about her. She played dead and she survived. I suspect part of what this means is that when he found a kid still alive, he walked over and finished him off. And so, and that there were a number of wounded kids out of this too. And Also, it's coming out that the police blew it. After the Columbine High School mass murders in 1999, we've got such a list of this stuff. When a pair of young shooters in that high school killed 13 people, how police should handle these sorts of things changed. It was the first time that law enforcement raced toward the gunfire instead of establishing a perimeter before engaging with the suspect. Now, Uvalde is this hick town, 15,000 people, and yeah, it's a hick town in Texas. And they have hick cops. And the hick cops did not pursue the shooter properly. They have all sorts of excuses about what they did and didn't do. They said they were busy evacuating the kids. However, Robert McCree, a professor of security management at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, said that it's, quote, not typical to wait, unquote, that long before police officers act. He added that it should at most take law enforcement mere minutes to react to emergency incidents like an active shooter situation. Professor McCree said, quote, police put themselves in harm's way and they needn't be reckless about it, but they are trained to respond to weapons use, trained to respond to emergencies. It was daylight. It was an emergency. People were in chaos. The first officer on the scene should have alerted headquarters that he was going in and requested backup for support, unquote. And so the big thing here is the police milled about. The shooter, I've seen a couple of different things. The shooter was either in there for 40 minutes or an hour. But he was in there for a very, very long time, certainly long enough to just execute every person in there, especially the little kids. And, you know, he was able to do that. He had plenty of time. And the police, yeah, they evacuated some people, but they're hick cops. They didn't know what to do. The established thing is you charge in and you shoot him. That's what you do. Instead, maybe they didn't know it, although there had been training for what to do. The kids were trained. The kids knew to try and hide and stuff. The police, they should have also been trained. This is what you do with an active shooter situation. I don't know. Maybe they didn't get any actual training. Or maybe they just chickened out. Well, that's a hard thing to say. You know, you want to go in and risk your life. They would have been risking their lives, but they would have been doing the job they're signed up to do. I mean, if you're a cop, you're supposed to go in and deal with this stuff. And if there's nobody else around waiting an hour for the Border Patrol to show up with their own rifles and armor, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. And that is unfortunately exactly what happened in this particular case. They waited and finally they went in and they couldn't get into the room because the door was locked. They had to get somebody come over with a key and unlock the door. Well, you know, it sounds like if you can get this other person who's not a cop to come over and unlock the door, it sounds like the hallway isn't exactly the scene of a firefight. I guess maybe they didn't have a battering ram. Again, this is a hick town. But they could see the guy through the windows. You know, they could have engaged him that way. It's dangerous, yeah. You know, he's going to shoot out at you and you're going to be at risk. And if you shoot into the classroom, you're liable to hit a kid. But if people, like, aim for the jerk's head, they're going to get him. But eventually, you know, the Border Patrol broke in and blew him away and it ended that way. And so, yeah, so the hick cops didn't do their jobs and, you know, there's going to be a lot of recriminations, and I'm sure everybody, all these Texas politicians will praise them and try to claim it's the media saying awful things about brave law enforcement. But the fact is we have a timeline that says these cops blew it horribly. There's some other stuff related to this. Arizona Representative Paul Gosar, Congress critter, in response to a tweet, replied regarding the identity of the shooter that, quote, it's a transsexual leftist illegal alien named Salvatore Ramos. It's apparently your kind of trash, unquote. So that's what this idiot Gosar came up with. So the Republicans are trying to blame the shooting on Biden to some degree, as much as they can. And did I mention that Trump is still going to the NRA convention this weekend in Texas? Oh, man, that thing is going to there's going to be more press coverage than they're used to. And they're probably going to ban reporters. I wouldn't be surprised if reporters get beaten up at this because they're going to ask questions. And the NRA people who are in all sorts of trouble these days, they're being sued. They're bankrupt. Some of them have apparently had their hand in the till. And now they're getting this. And yeah, we could see some stuff happening with the reporters getting attacked. One hopes these morons don't start shooting reporters who ask them, don't you think you're promoting murder? We'll see what happens, but this could be a very memorable NRA convention and awful stuff. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. So it's Memorial Day weekend. And yes, it's a nice long weekend. It marks the beginning of the summer season, not the astronomical season, but the weather season in New York City. It really does go from Memorial Day to Labor Day. For some reason, it just does that, which does take up most of summer. I mean, we're in late spring now, so it's June, July, August, and the first days of September. So yeah, it's pretty close to summer, the actual summer season, although there are some lovely days in September. And so here we are. It's Memorial Day weekend, and people are going to go out and enjoy things. I'm going to enjoy not having to do anything this week because I don't have any meetings this week. Yes, I don't have any meetings. Oh, that's a rare thing to have happen, and I'm glad I get the week off for meetings. Although I do have to put together a treasurer's report and two sets of meeting minutes. But hey, what the hell? But I think of it as just Memorial Day is a time to think about things in the past. And, you know, we have had all sorts of things happen in America where we've done some good things. And I also, you know, try to avoid thinking too much about my time in the Army because I really disliked being in the Army. If you're a nonconformist and you're gay in the first place, being drafted in the 60s is not pleasant. In fact, if they had come for me about 6 months later, it's possible I might have said, I'm not going. However, I did read in one magazine in the middle 60s that, yeah, the best thing is to let them draft you and hide if you can't get out any other way, because if you tell them you want to not get drafted because you're gay, you may never get a job again for the rest of your life. This is not theoretical. This is experience from a lot of other gay men who, you know, said that and then never got jobs really again. And of course, there was one guy they drafted, said he was gay. They said, we don't care, get in here. And then years later, when he was a sergeant, they said, you can't rejoin because you're gay and we don't have gay people here. And he went to the Supreme Court and he won because the Supreme Court said, it's a contract. You said you drafted him. He didn't volunteer, you drafted him. And now you say he can't. You knew he was gay then. He's got to be kept in now. So he won. And anyway, yes, so if anything, I'll remember also how much I disliked being in the Army and all of the stuff around it. Oh, well. That's been it for our Memorial Day weekend Back of the Book radio programs. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
We'll be back next week, and it will be LGBT plus Infinity Pride Month for the next program. Oh, boy. And so we'll be here for that. enjoy the weather. It's going to be nice. If you can go out, go out. If you can't go out, look out the window. It could be pretty nice out there. And above all, remember what that wishing we could do something about stuff like mass shootings, Dormouse said.
Diaries. Maybe the strangest looking bird in the world is New Zealand's kakapo. Unfortunately, it is one of the most endangered with less than 200 remaining. The kakapo is a huge nighttime parrot that can't fly. Activists have been frantically relocating them for the last 30 years to predator-free islands after their population fell to just 51 individuals. Because of inbreeding, the kakapo is very fragile, and last year 9 died and over 20 fell ill to fungal disease. Now every single bird has a radio tracker and everything they do is being monitored. The birds breed only once or twice a decade when the Rimu trees fruit. The berries are high in vitamin D, which may be the key to egg laying and survival. Scientists also use artificial insemination to avoid catastrophic inbreeding. It's an all-out battle for life for the kakapo and their human protectors. After all, isn't that what we, humans, are here for? My name is Cheyenne Sunthunder, and this is a Small World Radio production.
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's 2 overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering Zipcar sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
99.5 FM, WBAI New York.
Every day it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love,
like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
Well, folks, today we have a very special program for you and a very special guest by the name of Jeff T. Bowles. Book called The Miraculous Cure for Prevention and All Diseases Which Doctors Never Learned. He has, in his book, he offers that there are certain supplements that are natural to the body which can be used to prevent most, if not all, diseases.